Hello, and welcome back to your favorite podcast,
De-Influenced.
I'm back with my boo. It's just me and you.
It's a talking podcast.
It's a talking podcast. We've had so many interviews. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't watching Love is Blind, I apologize because we've gone Love is Blind heavy. We had Brittany from Love is Blind. We had Jess from Love is Blind. Yeah.
I think they did well though. Yeah. Team.
Yeah, they did well. I mean, people love Love is Blind. Yeah. I think we should just be like the podcast. Like when people end Love is Blind, they just come on the podcast and explain everything.
Maybe we should broaden our horizons and go to other reality TV shows too.
We can do The Bachelor, Perfect Match.
Yeah.
I'm open for that. I just don't watch
enough. Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen. That's my thing. I feel like Love is Blind is like my only show that I watch. So that's why we had him on. But give me a little life update. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. It's been a good past weekend. We had Easter with our family. Mm-hmm. I played paintball again.
Yes, you did.
I crashed a birthday party. My friend Miles was like, hey, my brother-in-law is having a birthday party. And I said, oh, really? What are y'all doing? He said, paintballing. And I said, can you ask him if I can come? And I really inserted myself, but it was so fun.
Yeah. Did you get any welts?
I got a welt on my nipple. Actually, really hurts.
Yeah.
It's kind of the worst place to get shot is in the nipple.
So like when you go to these birthday parties, like were there other people there or was it just the group? No, like were you playing just the group?
Well, so you have like walk-ons and then private parties. And we played with our 14 guys. And then at the end, I wanted to do a walk-on match, but we had already played all day.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, I had a good day with mom and Olivia and the kids. We went to the mall. The mall was packed. Yeah. It was like probably not the best time
to go. That was so brave.
Well, I mean, I had two other, adults with me.
No, what I'm saying is not because you went with the kids by yourself, but it's like, it's got to be so crowded on Easter weekend.
It was so crowded. Can I tell you something that happened at the mall? I feel like this past weekend, I lost my marbles. Like, I feel like I was not there.
You had a moment?
Oh, it was so bad. Okay. So we're at the mall and like, Liv is really good with kids and my mom's like great with Stella, but like I'm the responsible one. You know what I mean? If your mom is there, your mom just like, she just is overboard with like all, okay, let's change. She wants to change like Stratton's diaper like every hour. And yeah. Like, it's okay. Like we can wait
Very nurturing.
Very nurturing, but like to the extreme, which is a great thing. But like when I'm with Liv and my mom, like they're there for a good time. So I'm like really, like it's hard for me to enjoy myself because I'm so like stressed, And like the kids want to be out of the stroller and I'm like the one that's like, no, sit in the stroller, get clipped in because mm-hmm. if you're not in the stroller, you're going to run around and like, we're going to lose a child. Like, So I'm like a little stressed out. Two things that I did that day, which I was just, they were so out of character for me, maybe it's because usually you're there and you take care of me. I go to the bathroom, we wait in line for the family bathroom. You know how my phone has like a sticky Octo Buddy? Yeah. The best things, if y'all don't have an Octo Buddy for your phone, oh my gosh, they're amazing. Here's mine. It's just like this like sticky grip. It won't stick to this wall because it has to be a flat texture.
Got it.
But like, I love it because now when I go anywhere, like even to the bathroom, I stuck it on the wall in the stall, because it's tile or whatever. And I was changing Stratton's diaper. Like we're about to leave. I walk, you know how North Park Mall is like massive. Mm-hmm. We walk like 20 minutes to Neiman Marcus across the mall. We're getting ready to valet. I try to pull my phone out. I'm like, where's my phone? I left it stuck to the bathroom wall.
That's so you though.
It's so me. And so that's I'm so like, you. Oh my gosh. And the kids are out of the stroller. So I'm like, you guys watch the kids. I run back to the bathroom. I'm like waiting in line and it's still there stuck to the wall. Like I was so lucky. The second thing that I did that day was I went to Nordstrom. I bought 5 new pairs of Hanky Panky. My favorite underwear. Like they're my favorite lace underwear. I've been wearing them since high school, but I needed some new pairs. And so like, they're $20 a piece, maybe 22. They're outrageous for a pair of like cotton underwear.
That's your go-to.
It's my go-to. And so like, I've been needing to buy them for so long because like all mine have like self-tan, like it's just time, And so I buy 5 pair, spend $100. Mm-hmm. And then I buy a pair of like sticky nipples because they were on sale for $19. I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. So, you know, Stratton's like, we're like fussy. He wants to hold the bag for me. So I give him the bag to run around the mall. And I completely forgot about it. I have no idea where that bag is to this day.
It's gone.
It is gone.
It's in good hands.
He had it for like an hour walking around, and it was so cute because he wanted to hold a bag. I have no idea where it is. I don't even know what to do. Who do I call? Sucks. I can't just call like the mall, you know? Yeah. I was thinking about calling Nordstrom to see if it was still in Nordstrom somewhere. But like, and I knew it the whole time. I was like, Danny, take your bag back because your son's going to lose it. He's going to like leave it somewhere. And then yeah. I was like, no, he's happy. Just let him run around. So I'm so bummed. It was kind of just like a big L for me for the day.
But you know, it was worth it for the memories.
Yeah, but I lost like $122. I'm so upset.
You know, the disappointing thing that happened to me on Saturday is I've been trying to find like a new podcast that I can get into. Like,
well, have you ever heard of De-Influenced?
Yeah, I will never listen to our podcast in my life. Like, and honestly, sometimes it comes up on like your TikTok feed and ew. I swipe so quickly.
It's like, I don't want to hear my voice. Yeah.
It's like, I want that to just be a whole thing I black out on.
Yeah, I feel that.
So anyway, I was trying to find this new podcast and it has a bad word in it. So if there's kids listening, it's called Behind the B-A-S-T-A-R-D-S.
Okay.
And it's basically a podcast. It's such a cool concept. What they do is it's this old journalist who researches all of the most terrible people in history. So like his latest episodes is like...
It sounds so dark.
Yeah, but they're kind of funny about it. Like it has like really good reviews.
Like why did they end up so bad?
Well, so it's always very unique characters. Like the guy who created Dennis the Menace. They just did a 2-part series on how... The creator of the movie, the children's movie, Dennis the Menace, was actually a really, really bad guy.
Oh.
It's very similar to like you watching that Nickelodeon documentary of like all these like these kind of bad people behind things that you would never imagine. Anyway, this is not a cool story. I found the podcast. I think a lot of people will like it, but I just found them to be like, they always talked over each other and it like bothered me so much. And so then on my hour long paintball journey, I just didn't like it.
That's a really great story. Thank you, babe.
No, honestly, I think a lot of people will really like this podcast. It's called Behind the B-A-S-T-A-R-D-S.
Wait, sorry. I need to back up. You just said it was annoying to listen to because they spoke over each other.
Just like my style, like I didn't personally like it, but like conceptually, I think it's like a really cool podcast. I think other people who aren't as bothered by that will like it.
Okay. Well, good to know. Listen to this podcast that Jordan didn't like, but you might like it. We had a great Easter. We played poker and pickleball and went to the park. Yes. Three P's. What is that? Is that weird that we played poker on Easter on Resurrection Day?
I thought about that. I was like, oh, okay, we're going to go straight to gambling.
But no, we don't gamble. Just so you know, we play with chips, but I'm not opposed to it.
But you know, what's so funny is like your whole family is so competitive. And then the minute that we have this idea of like, why doesn't the winner just get paid $5 by everyone? Your mom was like, no, I don't gamble.
No, my mom was like very against gambling.
I know.
Which is so funny. Like I don't mind a little gamble. Like, and it's not because I like want to, I just like, okay, maybe I just have this really high threshold for like a dopamine hit, which is like really sad. But like, I feel like I need something to spice it up to like get me excited about a game. Like I need to win something.
Yeah.
That's your whole like family, bragging rights like don't matter to me. My mom was like, let's play for bragging rights. And I'm like, that means nothing. I'm like, I need to win $10. Like, and then I was like, we can even just put in $1 each, but there has to be some type of sacrifice, you know, for this game.
Yeah.
But we didn't. We played with chips. And then we went to the park. It was great. I want to ask you something.
Yes.
Do you feel like this guilt as a parent every time that there is a holiday, like we're not celebrating well enough for our children?
Yeah.
And I never felt this way.
It's not on holidays. It's like probably every third night.
So I would say when it comes to holidays, here's the thing that about me growing up, my parents did not go all out for holidays. Christmas, yes, they went all out, but like we never had the Easter bunny. We never had Easter baskets. My mom and dad like were working my birthday every year. Like they were gone the entire week. So like I never really did anything for my birthday. It's not like I woke up and they were like, and I'm not upset about it. Like it's just the way that it is. And So now when I have kids, I look on TikTok, I look on social media, and I see all these parents putting together the most extravagant Easter baskets. And then, you know, the stocking stuffers and then the elf on the shelf. And I'm like, there is so much. And like, is it bad that I'm not going as hard as they're going? And like, some of these people don't even actually believe in Easter. Like, it's just like, they're just like, we're going to celebrate the bunny day. And I'm like, so then.
Wait, do they call it the bunny day?
No, I just like, oh, I they just do everything
like,
bunny.
Like Easter is so controversial. They can't even say Easter. Yeah. They have to say the bunny day.
No. Oh, okay. Just, you know, like Easter is now it's called Resurrection Day amongst the Christian community, which is fine. I love it. So
we're taking it back. We're taking back language.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm not upset about it or anything. I just am trying to process like what I need to do personally, because I feel like I'm always failing. And I'm like, I actually believe in this holiday. So like, is it bad that I didn't do Easter baskets for my kids? I'm just going to say it right straight up. I thought about it.
Maybe you're such a purist and that you want it to be so much about Jesus that you don't want it to be manipulated eggs and candy and all these other things.
I mean, I definitely do. Like, I try to, even with like Christmas, I'm like, it's Jesus' birthday. Santa Claus is going to come help us celebrate. Like, but I just, it's hard for me not to feel this like sense of guilt when I get online. I'm like, oh my gosh, like their kids got like coloring books and, you know, stuffed animals. And I just am like, but yeah, so I tried, okay. I posted the cutest video of Stella trying to explain to her. If y'all haven't seen it on my Instagram or I posted it on TikTok, I did it all by myself. if you haven't seen it, it's so freaking cute. I'm like, Stella, okay, so what happened was Jesus died for our sins. Like, you know, when you hit your brother, that's a sin. And, you know, we all sin, but then Jesus died for our sins so that we can live eternal life with him. And without him, like, we would all be condemned, you know? And she's like, Jesus is coming to my house? I'm like, well, I mean, technically he's already here. He's in your heart. You know, and she goes,
like, where?
She goes, Jesus is in my heart. And I was like, yes. And so she lifts up her shirt and starts looking in her shirt, like in her heart for Jesus. And it's so cute. And so anyway, I don't know. I would say
that's more important momming than an Easter basket.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, and I know that like deep down, and that's why I try to emphasize that. But there is this like sense of comparison where I just feel like I'm falling short. I always feel like I'm falling short.
I was going to say, don't you struggle with this like ongoing? Cause that's how I feel when I look at like other moms or dads on social media, even dads. Like I'm like, man, he's an awesome dad. And I feel the comparison. So I feel like you as a mom probably feel
this is what I actually, more. I want to bring this conversation. Okay. I've been thinking about this a lot. So I've been on TikTok more because I'm trying to understand this TikTok world. I sound so old right now because like I'm so like well-versed on Instagram and like I get it all. And like Instagram stories, like the beautiful thing about Instagram stories is like, yes, it is posted and it's somewhat edited, but like it is the most real version of content that you can get. I'm not saying it is real completely, but like it is more authentic than TikTok.
Question.
Or all the...
Isn't that not what the TikTokers think though? Like TikTokers
think that the
Instagram world is more contrived than TikTok.
It's not. And I'm right about this. Okay. So
no, I believe you. I want to know your argument.
Okay. So these TikTok vlogs that you're seeing, it is like the vlogs. It's so funny because when I started my YouTube channel, this is how content went. We vlogged everything, vlogged your entire day. Guys, the amount of work that takes and like is insane. And here's the other thing that you have to think about when you're vlogging. You're filming all your content and then you're saving it and you're posting it at a later time. Instagram stories are the way that we create them. They're posted in real time. Okay. Like that's just how most Instagram stories go. Stories have to be, they're more real because they're the actual clip of life.
Yes.
And TikTok and these vlogs are edited and stylized. Like it's just different. It's more contrived and it's fun. They're beautiful. And like, I actually been very inspired by them. But what I just think is so wild is like, I know the amount of work that's going on behind the scenes of like the, like, even you have to think every time you're watching a vlog, there is a tripod and a camera and maybe some lighting that is being set up for every single shot. So how are all those shots like, so it's not like they're holding the phone doing selfie.
You know, you just pointed out to me that I never realized is the lighting. You're so right.
Yeah.
Because the lighting is always perfect in these vlogs. And I'm like, how are they like getting this lighting? And it's, you're right. It's, they have a whole set behind the scenes. Well, it's probably just the Alex Earl light.
Yeah, but it's still like, but you have to go set up and turn on the camera, check the camera, make sure that the angle is right, and then walk into the frame and then cut up the apple. Like, it is not real. It's not real. And like, I'll just tell you, on Instagram stories, you put your phone up and it's like filming, and like, it's just different. And I'm not saying like one is better than the other. I'm just pointing out the fact that it's a crap ton of work. So like, I sometimes wonder, I'm like, is everyone just doing this because it's interesting content to watch? But if you weren't doing this, would you really be making the Easter baskets?
I think that isn't like all we've ever seen over the past like 6 years. It's just a cycle, right? And it's like, constantly, it was like Instagram stories. Here's what real looks like. It looks like having perfect hair, being perfectly dolled up, Starbucks cup in a car, right? And then it was like, no, that's not real. And then it was like, no makeup, no hair, that's real.
Yeah.
And then everyone adopted that as a strategy. And it was like, okay, well, that's not real anymore. Now we're to like TikTok.
I'm feeling like, worn out. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I'm worn out, and social media is giving me the ick. Like, I even give myself the ick sometimes. Like, I watch it, I'm like, ugh. Ick. No,
that's why I can't like can't watch anything.
It's hard for me because I just know too much. And I think that everyone else is, I think everyone's two steps behind me, and I think they'll get there too. And so, but now I'm just like, what do I want?
Everyone is in consumers or creators?
Consumers, I think, are two steps behind me. I think people are going to start because you know why? Everyone, here's the beauty about YouTubing like 10 years ago. Guys, we could do anything. No one realized how calculated it was. Because no one knew how the camera was set up. No one knew about the lighting. No one was like experienced it themselves. Now everyone is creating content. People know everything. So if you're going to like frame a shot and have something happen in that shot, like, we know that that was calculated. We can't believe that this is just like real life anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, I am feeling that
people care.
I think people care, but they're like, oh, I can do this too now. So now everyone's like, I'm just going to do it myself. That's why you have so many people that are like, and like I said, this, it's not a bad thing. Like, it's giving me like, I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. I'm like, what is real anymore? I'm too jaded. I can't even watch like people vlog style their lives anymore and feel inspired by it. Like, I'm just now, I'm icked.
Yeah, for me, it's hard to, I don't know if you feel like this, but it's hard to, because like, from a technical perspective, I know that we could film that, right? And I know we could like set the camera up and set the light up.
And I might even try it. Let's be real.
That's what's hard for me is like, I feel like because I know too much, it's like, I don't want to be complicit. Like, I don't want to participate.
So how do we create content that
I know
isn't like that? This, like, I don't know. I think you, but here's the thing. I think you just have to do it. Like,
there was a time where I really felt like it was a redeemable quality to be truly like real on the internet. Right. Because it was like everyone was doing very produced content. And I think that we were just like, let's slapstick this. And it was real. It was very authentic and real to our lives. Now there's this whole other style of real, which is actually not real. It's more contrived. And I'm like, well, do we have to,
but it feels so real.
In order to be real, do we have to make this contrived content? And that's just like where I get hung.
I'm stuck, babe. It's not even funny. Me and you are both stuck. Okay. Because I'm like, I'll cross over. Do I need to? Like, do I need to go back to vlogging? Like, I'll do it. You know me. Like, I'll be right back there. Yeah. But I'm also like, I am just confused and I'm not inspired by it myself. So I'm like, maybe if I just start doing it, I'll feel inspired and maybe people will just take it for what it is and not like.
It is so funny how therapeutic this podcast is because I've been wanting to talk to you about this for like probably a month.
I know.
And it's just like, cause it's a rut. I would call it like a creative rut.
We're in a rut.
But to me,
I don't want people to think that I'm coming from a judgmental place. And if I am, it's my problem, not yours. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm genuinely just like trying to talk this out and figure it out because I am in a place where nothing really inspires me anymore.
Yes.
And so, like I said, my problem, not your problem, not the vlogger's problem, not the TikToker's problem. It's on me. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just getting, because I know so much, I'm just not inspired.
You know, it's so crazy too. And I'm going to make this like a layer more personal to you is like, I think that sometimes in most of 99%, like we measure this, 99% of your audience is like, understand you're trying your best to be a good mom and all this stuff, but like the good moms are producing this type of content. And so it's kind of like,
but like, are they good moms?
No, that's what,
just because I'm filming myself, like, you know, cleaning my daughter's bedroom doesn't mean I'm a good mom. It means I'm creating content.
It's
like
very
I'm
calculated of like what you are showing to be a good mom. And so the dilemma that I have is like a protective husband. A lot of the times with you is I'm like, man, like this whole story's not being told, you know, because we're showing these snippets that are very real snippets, but it's not enough to convince them because the new style of quote unquote good moms is like, I set up
she's
a camera.
She's such a good mom. I like, set up a look camera at her organizing cookies, the closet.
I set up a camera when I'm cleaning my kid's room and then I piece it all together.
And I put beautiful music to it and like, wow, she's an amazing mom.
It's just so crazy because everyone is so good at being their own publicist now, like, yes, and spinning out this image of what it's supposed to be. That is like what has probably made me the most jaded in this space is like, I feel like if we wanted to do that, we could do it. And I think that we're very smart and we're very savvy. And we know how consumers think, but it's like, I just don't want to anymore. I'm like, like everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of like pride of innovation and originality that I have that I hate jumping on bandwagons of like this new style of good mom.
Yeah, but it's
content.
Just kind of the way that it works. Know, like you kind of just have to go with the flow. And so, sell your soul to the social media, you know? Yeah, I feel that. And it's like my biggest question that I would want to ask some of these people that like I follow and sometimes I wouldn't say envy, but I like, I'm like you said, I'm like, wow, she's a good mom. Like, you know, I would wonder if they get the same level of joy of giving their kids Easter baskets without filming it, like as when they do film it.
That's what's happening to me.
No, I'm just curious. I'm genuinely curious because I'm like, because I think if you're doing this for so long, it messes up like the dopamine rush in your head. And it's like, wow, like I did all this hard work for what?
You are so woke. Like you are so.
Oh no, I don't want to be woke. Right
now. No, like in a good way. Okay. Like you're so.
Don't call me woke. Don't use the W word on me.
It's so crazy. I've never heard these things come out of your
mouth. But it's like you get this dopamine rush from giving your kids. And I'm just making up this example. I'm not even like, there's not even like, what's another example of stuffing? Okay. Of giving your kids these Easter baskets. And it's like, wow. Like you get 6,000 comments of like, wow, Danny, like you are such an amazing mom. And then I'm like, yeah, like I'm going to go give it to my kids. And then I'm like, oh, I'm such a good mom. I'm such a good mom. Now, if you did all that hard work without posting anything about it, would you feel that same level of confidence and dopamine? And probably not. So then what it trains your mind to do is like, Danny, go be a good mom on the internet. Go do something else for your kids. Yes. Go like shopping for your kids and tie their shoes on camera, because then like everybody will think, you know, and then it like directs all of your content towards something that like maybe you're genuinely not feeling confident in. It's like all a facade.
Babe, you might be one step away from joining the mom hate community.
Because they're
honestly,
all
because I'm gonna tell you something. This is how they feel. They're like, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I am like serving my kids. I have three kids. My husband works. I'm doing this all by myself. You, on the other hand, are making money from doing this. You're showing only the best parts of the snippets.
Am I a hater?
No, you're not a hater, but I think that you just bridged the gap. Like you just found empathy with people who find that social moms specifically who find that social media makes them feel a certain way.
Yeah.
That is unfair.
So what do we do? Where do we find our worth?
I don't know the answer to this because it's like, I think that the best case scenario of us leaving this conversation is you establish yourself as an ally to the mom hate community.
Reddit, I see you. I see you. I feel you.
And they come on your side.
I'm on your side. I come in peace.
And they say to you, she is one of us. She understands. Let's adopt her.
Yeah, but no, but here's the thing. I'm too much of an achiever. And like next week, I'm going to be hitting up those vlogs on TikTok. Yeah, it's like, no, duh.
It's so funny because like what I was like, maybe we should cut all of this from the podcast because next week you're going to have like 16 vlogs.
I'm like, it's 7 a.m. I'm reading my Bible, like turning page. Like, I'm like, is the camera on me?
No, the Christians that do this are wild. Like the ones who like put on praise and worship music and are like reading their Bible and they press play on the camera and they're like holding up their arms. And I'm like, this is so crazy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Dreamland Baby. We have spoken about Dreamland Baby on DMFluence a couple couple of times now, but for the mamas, dads, grandparents, or any caretakers out there, this is a product that you absolutely need to hear about. Dreamland Baby is the brand that brought us the weighted sleep swaddle and weighted sleep sack. The way you feel using a weighted blanket and how it helps take your anxiety down is how it feels for your baby. It's been such an amazing addition to our household, and it's one of my number one most recommended products for any new parents out there. The weighted sleep swaddle is for your newborn. I learned about Dreamland Baby a few months into having Stella, so we started with the weighted sack for her, but Stratton started with the weighted swaddle. The easy-to-use built-in swaddle band makes swaddling a breeze for you and your baby. And best of all, the Dream weighted swaddle can be worn three ways: both arms in, one arm in, or both arms out, to effortlessly adapt to your baby's changing sleep needs and provide them with the security and comfort they deserve, just like a hug. They can then transition to the sack once they're ready. Head over to dreamlandbabyco.com and enter code Danny at checkout to receive 20% off site-wide plus free shipping. The offer is for new and existing customers.
Where I have been with this whole conversation is like, I'm trying my best to reconcile like what is the good of social media and the purpose of social media that we can lean into to be a light without like playing to the strategies that are just making people feel really compared to.
And something I also have to wonder sometimes is like, is our mindset just so jaded because of how long we've been on the internet? And we've experienced so many changes and transitions. And so sometimes I feel like we're more jaded than like the average consumer or like average content creator, because even my friends that are like, you know, in the same space as me, like a lot of them have just been going for 6 years. I'm like 11 going on 12 years.
Yeah.
Like that's enough time to really mess you up. You know what I mean? Like there's some screws that are loose up in here. And so like, sometimes I wonder, I'm like, that's why I genuinely do think maybe it's a me problem, not a them problem or a you problem. It's a me problem. But maybe it's not. I don't know.
So it's an us problem.
Or yes, because we're one.
But I also think, no, like, because I feel all the same things. I think that the most challenging component, which is the irony in all of this, is that what made this conversation and predicament really hard for us was our kids. And
yeah.
How our kids are, we're trying to keep them off phones. Like, we do not want them to be on social media.
Do you want to go down the phone conversation?
Yeah. I mean, it's all one.
I have two conversations that I want to segue. I want to take this. And, like, just so you know, we're kind of going a little off the cuff here. And so we're not following our script whatsoever. But I want to address two big conversations here. One, I want to go down the smartphones or the phones for kids conversation.
Yeah.
And then two, I want to fast forward a little bit because we're going to go over this later on in the show, but I want to talk about traditional wives.
Traditional, okay.
And so first I want you, so just to set the scene a little bit here, it was totally my fault. It was not we. I give Stella an allowance. So when she cleans up her toys, she gets like a quarter, two quarters. Honestly, it's just like whatever I'm feeling that day.
Just to build the habit. So like, yeah, I don't want people coming after us.
No, it's great. And like, if you come after us, like, I don't care. Like, I'm so confident in what we're doing. Yeah. And so Stratton, same thing. He'll clean up his toys. I give him a quarter, two quarters. Like I said, is like how I'm feeling that day. It's very like chill. And so I keep telling Stella, I said, Stella, when you save up enough money, I'm going to take you to the toy store and you can buy whatever you want. And she's like, yay. And she doesn't really understand. One day my assistant is over and she's looking. I don't even know how this happens, but like they love to like look up like princess pictures on her computer. Well, an ad comes up at Big Lots for this pink traditional telephone. It's like one of those pink telephones like that, you know, the numbers are like in a circle and yeah. It's like a bit, you know, has a cord and everything. It's so cute. So Stella shows it to me. She goes, Mommy, I want this phone. I said, well, it's $7.99. We'll have to see how many quarters you have in your piggy bank. Should we count them? And so we count them. I'm like, dang, that girl had like a lot of money. Like I was like kind of shook. I was like, wow.
I think she knows where we keep the quarters.
Yeah. Like I was like, wait, she has like $15 of quarters in here. And so I'm like, Stella, you have enough money to buy your own phone. This is amazing. So we take her quarters. We collect the $7.99 plus tax. And so, cause I'm like, honey, you got to play. There's tax. Like it's just real life.
Teach you about the government.
Yeah. I'm like, and this is where your money for the taxes goes. Poof. And so she finally gets a phone in and she's so excited. Well, here's like another moment where I just got like railed in my comments.
Really?
Well, her phone comes in and Stratton didn't get a phone. So he was watching and like super upset. I'm like, sorry, he didn't work hard enough. Like, it's just, it's not my fault that he doesn't have enough money. / he doesn't know what he wants yet. He's too young. Like, he'll learn as he gets older and but he'll come to me.
Fair,
and
so, yesterday okay, he tried sorry. To mop the poop. So he's he getting
did.
There.
It's so sweet. I know. And so... So everybody's like, oh my gosh, you got Stella a phone and not Stratton a phone. And then I was like, you're right. I'm a horrible mother. I'm going to order him a phone. So I go on Amazon and I'm like, toddler phone. First phone that comes up. It's like this little cute phone, has a screen, but it's not like a, no, it was like a colorful screen. $29, but so cute. It had like, it was like a blue, it had a blue case that was a dinosaur. And I thought, you know what? I've been such a bad mom. I'm going to order the $29 phone for him. Like, cause I'm just like, swimming in guilt right now. So I buy him the $29 phone, comes in the mail, and this thing is like legit. Like it reminds me, it's kind of like a, like it does the same things that my first Motorola like flip or push up phone mm-hmm. did. Like it has a camera, it has a flashlight. You can go to it and play songs. You can play games. You can't take video and it doesn't have Wi-Fi or internet or anything, but like it just does a lot and it's touchscreen, right? So I'm like, this is kind of cool. But I'm also like, there's a lot of little toys out there that are screens that you touch and you, so I was like, oh, probably not that big of a deal. Well, I give it to Stratton, but Stratton's just kind of doesn't, he's not really interested. Now Stella is obsessed with the thing. Oh my gosh, she throws her old 799 Big Lots phone out the window. She could care less about it. And she's like, mommy, mommy, I love. So then I'm like, uh-oh. So I also swiped up to it on my Instagram stories. And I'm like, I also feel really guilty about that. But like, I didn't know, but like a lot of people clicked on it because I was like, this is a great educational tool. It has songs, it has games. Well, she becomes quickly addicted to the phone. Like 3 hours later, I'm like, we have a problem. And so I tell Jordan, I'm like, I think I made a boo-boo. And not only did I make a boo-boo, but I swiped up to this phone and I can't sleep at night. So then Jordan comes in and he is like a strong, you took a strong stance, right?
Yeah, I have a very strong stance against like our kids not having social media until they're like
babe,
16.
But they're not, it's not social media. This is a phone that doesn't even have internet or Wi-Fi.
I
know,
but I think it's like, for me, it the argument I made to you
it's like a was gateway like, drug.
We're like starting a habit of phones. Like,
see, could so I just explain to you like my thing? Okay, so like you come from a place of fear. I come from a place of this is the future. You need to learn and you need to know how to like, you know, practice and like, like that's honestly like my mind kind of went there for a second. I was like, don't withhold, you know, embrace technology.
I know.
And like, I'm not, I was wrong.
But are you? Like, I mean, I took such a hard stance and sometimes like I'm a better arguer than you. And
so, oh, like, you're always a better arguer. It's so annoying.
So let's talk about it. So were you really wrong? Like,
I think I was wrong because I think it was too early. I will say I was going to put, let me tell you why I think I was wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to get so much hate from this episode. It's not even funny. I'll probably, this might like, be my last episode.
I actually feel like you're doing great.
Okay. So I got her the phone and then the next 2 days at school, she disobeyed her teacher and her teacher had to come and talk to us.
That's true.
About I never how, these dots. Oh, I did immediately. Cause I was ridden in guilt. I was like, and so she was so excited about this phone that she could not think about anything else. That's all she wanted. And so she would just, when she went to, before school, she'd say where, and she would go hide it. And then at school, she was disobeying her teacher. She couldn't pay attention. She'd come home from school, where's the phone? And then the teacher would come talk to us and say, you know, Stella is not paying attention or listening to the teacher. That never happens. And I'm like, secretly, I'm like, I hope Jordan doesn't find out because I feel so guilty.
Wow, thank you for telling me. This is actually like so validating to my argument.
So I tell Stella, I say, Stella, because you did not listen to your teachers, you cannot have this phone. You cannot play with it. She is distraught, devastated. Well, the next morning she wakes up, she runs, you know, I get her out. She runs into my room as I'm getting ready. She said, mommy, today I'm going to listen to my teacher and obey my teacher so I can play with my phone. I said, okay, but you can only play with your phone for 20 minutes after. And when we say phone, just keep in mind, y'all, it doesn't have Wi-Fi. It's you can't call people. It's $29. It's like a screen. Like it's a play thing. And I'm like, you can play with your phone for 20 minutes after school if you obey your teachers. Okay, mommy. Okay, love you. And like, oh, she just loved me so much that day. It was so great. And so, So then she comes home from school again. She took her sunglasses and threw her sunglasses across the room in the classroom. That's not like Stella. So I'm like, this phone has a hold over my child. So I let the phone die. She comes home from school and I'm like, the phone is not working. It's so cheap. It's from Amazon. Like, I can't get it to work. And she's like, what, mommy? Freaking out. I'm like, it's not working. I'm so sorry. So to this day, she has the phone. It's not charged. It doesn't work. The screen doesn't work. But she just hides it. And she just, you can't, she just pretends, you know. And I've come to peace with that. And like, slowly but surely, she's forgetting about it. But yeah, I think it caused some issues. I think that she was so obsessed with it. And I think it would have been like a gateway drug. Like, it would have been the thing that prevented our daughter from wanting to go play outside and stay inside. And, yeah. And
so there's a, we share this on stories, but there's a guy named Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T. And he wrote a book called The Coddling of the American Mind. And now he just wrote a new book called The Anxious Generation. And like, I've been listening to interviews with him. I forgot how I found him, but he talks a lot about how like our children, he talks about TikTok specifically, like TikTok, he acknowledges like a whole different beast and animal to compared to Instagram, but he talks about like smartphone addiction in kids in particular. And you know, what's so funny is when I took a stance on stories against like throwing away this phone, how many, did you see this? Like how many teachers were in your DMs that were like, hey, I teach 8-year-olds, I teach 11-year-olds, I teach 13-year-olds, and like people are not talking about the severity of like how bad this problem is. Like they cannot focus. The behavior is like completely because of the addiction to the smartphone. And then she talks about just like how they, there's like an emptiness to the kids, it seems like. When they go outside and play, it's like they just want to be on phones.
Well, I think adults are feeling the same thing. So think about the child mind that is developing. Like it's the same thing.
And that's his argument is he's like, hey, like, you know, a lot of people call me just like a crusty old man. That's like saying like, oh, this generation doesn't explain this. Cause every older generation has something they look back on kids and they're like, back in my day, it was this. Yeah. And he's like, this one I'm arguing is a very different thing. Like it's a very different phenomenon to anything that like children have ever experienced before, because it's truly like rewiring their brain and their dopamine receptors and their serotonin. And
what did you say was the most important thing for kids?
His argument was, so three things. One, he said that summer camps like are kind of a safe haven for kids because, you know, usually when you go to summer camp, you know, you're there for a week or two and you can't have your phone. So he's like, that is really kind of like bringing the kids back to realizing, oh my gosh, like this is so bad for me.
You remember when you would like write your parents letters from camp or that people would write you.
Yeah. And you just like, he was like, he explains that he like interviews these like 15-year-old kids, 16-year-old kids. And they're like, yeah, when I was away from my phone, like I felt so much less anxiety. I felt peace. I felt like I didn't have to compare myself, you know, and all these things. And then the second thing he said that's the most important for younger kids is like unsupervised play outside.
Why unsupervised?
Because it allows for the kids to experience like their own risk tolerance. Like yesterday, for example, we took Stella to the park.
Oh, I hate that my mom did that.
It's okay. She means so well. Like,
no, I know. I was just like, no, this is so important.
Well, but I think you
tell them what
you and I were woke.
We were woke. Like,
we're woke. We're reading the research.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're
so we're like, stop. Well, so what happened was Stella has really like gotten, she's kind of like grown out of her shell. Like when she goes to the park, she used to be very timid and scared.
Yeah.
And now she's playing on all of the equipment and she climbed up this like monkey bar thing. And I was pretty impressed how far she made it. She made it all the way to the top and she got to the top and Jordan and I are watching her, but you can tell like she wasn't freaking out or anything, but she started to like kind of look around like, oh crap. Like I made it to the top. Now what? Well, my mom like sprints over to her. And my mom's like, what, Stella? You know, I'm like, mom, no, like let her figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it's crazy. It's like, it's so unsupervised play outside allows for the kids to like determine their own risk. And even if she were to fall off the monkey bars, in a weird way, it like prepares her for life because what's happening, And I never read this book, but I think it's the argument he makes, like in The Coddling of the American Mind. He's like, we as parents, as a generation, we went from kind of like corporal punishment, like our, you know, yeah. our parents were like spanked and like beat, you know, as kids, like that was with just the belt, how with the... we punished them. And so our generation like flipped and was like, we're going to coddle. We're going to make sure that you never feel danger. You're never hurt. And then it's made kind of like a super soft generation that's not prepared for the world. And he connects it to like universities, where he's like, that's why these kids went to college and were faced with all these ideas and just truly were not like prepared for the trigger warnings and like all of the things. And then they would revolt and protest and all this stuff. So he was like, so the question is like, why is it not being fixed? And he calls it a, I think it's called a collective action problem, which means that what parents are facing now, you and I, is like, even if we wanted to not have our kids have smartphones until we're 16, the social pressure that we would face from our kids and other parents is so yeah. strong, because it's very rare to find a school that's like no phones on campus. Like what they'll do is they'll say, hey, put your phone in your bag, and they'll use it between periods. Yeah. And then Stella and Stratton would feel completely lost and burn out. And that's why it's crazy. Like Amber Vinsbox, who moved to West Texas, like I'm sure that that's what she felt she had to do, is like yeah. move away onto a farm and be like, I have to break my kids.
Do you still want to move to the middle of nowhere and live on a farm?
No, but what I wish, I would love to invent this together if you want. I had this idea.
A little busy, and honestly, I gotta start vlogging on TikTok. I have too much on my hands.
Hear me out. This is what I want to invent. Okay, so like you know, Cedar Creek Lake, and
yes,
outside of Dallas, you know, Long Cove, the neighborhood.
Yes, the rich people.
Okay,
for the rich people.
So it's a community. You have to like basically go into the community. You can't list your property on Airbnb. There's kind of a culture to the community. They only allow for specific builders. So basically it's a mixed use community that's for a specific type of
It's people. Like a utopia.
Yes, but it's more of like a buy and wealth thing for that neighborhood.
It's an expensive utopia.
I think that we should create a mixed use community for like-minded parents.
It's giving cult.
No. It's just like a neighborhood. Like we live in a neighborhood. But it's like, in order to get into the neighborhood, it's kind of like you agree to this specific set of values, like no phones. Like we build a lot of playgrounds in this neighborhood. There's a community pool. And like, cause like, don't you feel sometimes like what we're missing in our lives?
But then
lives?
You don't have any diversity.
No. Diversity. How? Like race, gender?
Like economic background?
No, you can. Like it can be varied. Like I'm not thinking economic
but how?
Diversity.
Economically, that's not going to make sense if you have all these different brackets all in the same neighborhood. How is it going to run?
The neighborhood?
Yeah.
There can be different price points for the different houses, no?
Okay. I just like, even if you like can afford to get into it, it's going to be a certain.
So you don't like my mixed use community?
I just feel saying. Like it's kind of.
Is it giving commune?
A little bit. Or maybe it's giving Walt Disney. We don't know. That's maybe you're saying. Actually a genius.
Isn't this what he wanted to do with Epcot?
Kind of.
But like no phones. Play outside.
Okay.
I think if we don't invent this, someone's going to invent it. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I think that the problem is so drastic and people don't, like parents don't know where to turn to fix it. But yeah. They're I think it's going to keep getting
worse. Did you
ever
see that trip that Sarah Knuth took? She took her kids to Australia and like left all the phones at home. She took her phone like
I didn't know she did this.
Yeah, so she went on this trip and it was like spontaneous. And she took her three kids. She was like, absolutely no phones, no screens. We're going to Australia and we're just going to figure it out. And she didn't even like, it was like a very like last minute trip because I think she was so sick of it.
Sick of the phones and the screens.
Yeah, we should talk to her.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I really feel like the way she was feeling about this situation is how so many other parents are feeling.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing, this is the last bit of research I'll share from this book. So there's like this economic scenario where like he basically presented the kids a problem and he was like, hey, how much would it take for you to delete Instagram and TikTok off your phone? And the average price that the kids gave was $47, I think. And so it was like, okay, for $50, I'll delete it off my phone. Then he basically said, okay, if everyone else around you agreed to also delete it off your phone, how much would you pay? And the kids were like, I would pay you money to delete it off my
phone. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about TikTok.
That's how you feel as a creator. That's how you feel about these vlog things. It's a collective action.
Like, nobody really wants to be on it. We just feel like we have to.
Everyone knows what's right and everyone knows what it's doing to us, but it's like, who's going to be the first to do it? Like,
yeah, it's just impossible.
And even if you're the first to do it, you're almost like giving up. Like, in our case, it would be giving up all of the business that you've, you know, built over 12 years.
But it's just, I agree. Yes, you're giving up your business, but I just have to say it's different now than it used to be.
How so?
It's just like, I think when I first started creating content, it wasn't as like addicting. Oh, it wasn't like, it's just different now. Like, I feel the changes and like, I feel the anxiety. I feel things that I never felt when I first started doing this. Like, it's just, it's different.
We should call Sarah Caneas.
Okay, I have to pee so bad. Is that bad?
Let's take a pee-pee break.
Thank you for allowing me to have that bathroom break. I don't know if you've noticed the correlation between when we got a spout put in our sink for like purified water, because our refrigerator, the water spout is like so bad.
Yeah.
And I've been drinking so much more water now. Have you noticed that?
Good.
I have to pee like 18 you times an hour.
Your skin looks better.
Really?
It does. I'm telling you.
I've been drinking so much water. Have you noticed that though? How much I've had to pee?
Yeah.
Babe, it's like the next level. Anyway, so my biggest issue with this and why I don't think there's going to be a resolve is because it's like, we're able to identify the issue within our children now, but I think the parents are so addicted to their phones too.
Yeah.
That how can you deal with your children's conflict with the phone if you can't do it with your own? Like, there's just no way.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, all roads are pointing to my Epcot community. I don't know what you're kind of a hater on it, but I know that this is one of those things that you're going to come back around to.
It just sounds like a logistical nightmare.
For who?
Just like, it sounds like a commune. It sounds like a cult.
Babe, it's no different than like
a neighborhood with rules.
No, not rules. Neighborhoods already have rules. They have HOA rules. Like, you can't rent, you can't do this. Like, for example, we own a rental property in this place out in Forney, and one of the tenants planted a fake bush and we got fined for it, you know? And so this is already like happening. It's just more a values based HOA versus like an aesthetic based HOA. But
then you're going to create like a sense of shame over technology.
Okay, I'm usually the extreme one. You're being very extreme about this and you're kind of crapping all over my Epcot.
Okay, idea. Okay. So anyway,
we'll talk about it later.
I want to talk about the solar eclipse because I ordered the sunglasses for it.
Yeah, you know that this has been on my calendar for probably 8 months.
You also said it only happens one time in a million years and it just happened in 2017.
Well, did I say a million years?
You said once every million years.
Well, I think I was embellishing just to get the point
a little across. Bit. And then the one before 2017 was in 1979. Yeah. And the one before that was in 1970.
So Landon made this point. He did say that it seems like every year there is some type of planetary thing going on. And I was like, you know what? You're kind of right.
And
like,
every year there's a rapture too.
Yeah, well, there's a threat of rapture. Unquote, yeah. Yeah, because whenever something happens with the planets, people go a little cuckoo. They get a little scared.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I'm not knocking them for that.
Well, it's going to be cool to see. It's not going to happen for another 20 years, I believe, in the United States.
Yeah.
So
it's supposed to rain, though.
Really?
I just read. Maybe it was just a doom article because the Weather Channel needs clicks, but.
Well, you know, everyone is flocking to our neck of the woods because we're going to be able to, you can see it from across the country. So don't feel like you have to come to Texas or Dallas to see it. You're going to be able to see it everywhere, but you're going to see like the clearest here.
Yep.
San Antonio
is actually the best.
Really? Mm-hmm.
I've heard that San Antonio / Austin is like the best.
It's the best. So it's going to be happening on April 8th. Mark your calendars. Buy your sunglasses on Amazon. I bought them. I'll swipe up to them later.
The grocery stores are going to be ransacked.
You think?
It's okay. We're prepared for that.
Are we though with our toilet paper?
We are. I need to check the storage unit because I heard that they have rat problems. So we'll see if they got into it.
One thing that I was like, what I was listening to or reading whenever I was reading about the solar eclipse is that Mark Zuckerberg bought a like, I don't know, $20 million house in Hawaii and has this like $100 million like underground bunker that he built.
Yeah. But all the tech billionaires do that.
Do they?
Yeah. They're all buying property in Hawaii and they all have bunkers.
Well, I want a bunker too.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But like, we.
Why do they have bunkers?
Because it's for the elite, the billionaires.
Ugh, so annoying.
There's also like a place in New Zealand that has a bunch of them.
I like New Zealand.
You ever been?
No, I just like the people there. What are they called?
Kiwis?
Kiwis. I like the Kiwis. Seems like a beautiful place.
Okay, but let me tell you something. Have you heard of cloud seeding?
Oh, yes, they're making it rain.
Yes, they're making it rain. And for so long, all of our crazy aunts and uncles,
yeah,
not ours, but everyone's crazy aunts and uncles were like, they're doing chemtrails in the sky.
Yeah.
They're like dropping this stuff from planes. And everyone was like, okay, crazy.
Yeah.
And now it's like a...
confirmed thing.
It's like a confirmed thing. Like there's this company. Everyone should go look it up. I pulled it up before the podcast. It's called makerain.com.
Make it rain.
And the company is called Rainmaker.
Rainmaker.
And look at this website. It's cloaked in this just like,
oh, it's gorgeous. Making like, Earth habitable.
Making Earth habitable. And if you scroll down,
habitable.
They said the United States pioneered cloud seeding in the mid 20th century.
So like this whole time we didn't know.
This whole time they're making it rain in the clouds by putting chemicals in there. And he said today China is the global leader in the field. Rainmaker brings the frontier of cloud seeding capabilities back home.
So what's the controversy?
Weather-resistant drones, radar validation, new cloud seeds, numerical.
Why do people not like it? Because it's chemicals.
Yeah, they're putting chemicals in the clouds to make it rain more.
Ugh, I'm telling you, things have just gotten so bad. I don't even know what to tell you. I mean, we're just screwed, all of us.
Yeah, but so the lasers thing, I was
like,
out
the
on
rain
that one.
Isn't even authentic anymore.
Yeah,
the TikTok isn't authentic anymore.
I'm telling you,
the smartphone. I was just, I'm overwhelmed.
We need a bunker.
We need a bunker.
Or.
A neighborhood
with strong HOA rules.
But it's going to be very expensive to join. So it's going to just be for the elite again.
No, it's not going to be expensive to join.
There's no way that this is going to work without it costing money, babe. It's just not possible.
Gosh, babe, you are so
What are you going to get? Like the government to pay for it? Okay. Anyway.
I feel like Biden would be so down.
Biden is down for a lot of things. Anyway, okay. Should we talk about San Antonio at all?
San Antonio? Wasn't that like 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, but we never really talked about it. Should we talk about like the drama that happened?
What drama happened?
You know, at the event.
Oh my gosh. Should we talk about the drama? Let me tell you what happened with this story. Thank you for reminding me, babe, because you know what? I'm going to die on this hill. So you tell the story really quick of how we got invited to San Antonio and who your Latina aunt is for a second.
Okay. So my mom's family, I've told you all this a million times, but just so you guys know the backstory, they own 4 or 5 shops at El Mercado downtown in San Antonio. It has been there. It is like a historic market for years. When like... people from Mexico moved to Texas or America. This was like a market where they set up and they kind of like held on to some Mexican traditions. So when you go there, there's a lot of tourism kind of. Like you see a lot of like the Mexican dishes, foods, flags. My family owns a bunch of them and they sell basically, why can I not think of the word?
Trinkets,
but souvenirs. Yes. Souvenirs. You can buy ponchos, sombreros. Like, you know, they have these like dancers, and it's just like a really beautiful place to celebrate their culture.
It's a very important staple of the San Antonio.
Of San Antonio, community. And honestly, like they're trying to get rid of it, and so my aunt is lobbying against, like she literally goes and like spends her life fighting for this market because of like the history and how beautiful it is. So
because let me tell you, because I talked to her on the phone.
Yeah.
She said that what's happening is a lot of developers are trying to come in and knock the community down, which would hurt Hispanic owned businesses.
Because there's a lot of small Hispanic owned businesses right there.
It would put an entire community out of business.
So my aunt called me and asked me if I would support it and like promote it. And I was like, absolutely. Yeah. She was like, would you want to come have a meet and greet here? And I'm like, I don't know, like, nobody there's gonna know who I am. Like, it's gonna be weird. Like, who's this girl showing up? And she was like, well, I would really love for you to like shout it out. So I thought, okay, well, let's have Divi get involved and let's set up a tent. And that way people, when they come by, they actually have a, like, they have a reason to come there. That way it's just like not, because people are gonna be like, who's this girl? Like, you know?
Yeah.
But I did tell people on my socials, but I was like saying for like the public, for the market there. So Divi gets involved, and to support the market, I invite a bunch of people. I think we had 600 people come. Like, it was like amazing. And it was really sweet to meet everyone. So Divi set up a tent, and as I'm going through the line and meeting people, I have no idea what's going on, but my employees are being like harassed by this man that is, we're set up right next to the main stage. And this main stage has a bunch of Tejano bands that are performing for this festival, and it's called Spring Fest. And my aunt threw the entire thing. Okay. And it's right outside of my grandma's shop that my mom literally like was like pulled out of high school to help run. Like, so this whole market, I'm like, sorry, like, this is my family. Like, these are my roots. And like, Divi is there. We're also, it's just like a grand old time. So,
and the win-win-win of all of this was, we could have launched our product in any other city, but we were like, oh, this is an awesome opportunity to support Danny's roots, my roots.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like drive awareness to protecting like small Hispanic owned businesses.
Yeah. We gave out some grants. Like we like, to some of the female owned Hispanic businesses there. It was really, really special.
It was a wholesome time.
It was a wholesome time, like a good old time. And just so you know, like I also like was raised going to this market, like every summer I'm there the entire summer. My mom and I used to drive down every weekend and we would sell keychains and cats. Like, it's so weird. Like, or stickers. Can I take over this story now? Okay. So yes,
you were in line. I was,
so I have no, I'm like, this is just a beautiful event. It was supposed to rain that day. The sun came out. It was an amazing day. We're, yeah. And everyone is having a grand old time.
Right. You know, so there were probably like what, 500, you know, 700 people who came to like say hi, meet our team, buy Divi, et cetera. So this guy, has been sitting on the sideline kind of along this fence as, and like looking at Danny. So he's just kind of looking at Danny and like, you can tell he's a little bit, you know, catty, snarling. He's had already come up and talked to a couple of our employees and I had seen it happen. And I was like, oh, that seemed like a weird interaction, but we'll move on. And so I walked by him and he pulled me aside and he was like, hey, he was like, you know, that this is cultural appropriation. And I was like, and pointed at you. And
pointed
I
at
like,
me?
Yeah, he pointed at you. That's what set me off.
Is what?
He was basically saying like, you, like, this is cultural appropriation. Like what you're
doing. What about my mom? Did he point to my mom?
No, he pointed at you in a line of people.
Because she's straight up Hispanic. So it's like, what would you do? I'm her daughter. Like,
yeah, ugh. He pointed at you in the line of people. And I was like, I go, oh, really? I was like, how's that? And he goes, can you name me one Tejano band?
Yeah, that makes you like more Hispanic or not. Like you can name a Tejano band.
I couldn't. Like, I was like,
you're like, have you ever heard of Selena?
Yeah. I almost went there and I was like, no, don't do it.
Also, Selena used to get the most amount of hate because she did not speak Spanish. She was Mexican American. Like, and she was the first female artist to play Tejano music, but she actually didn't speak. Yeah. So she used to get the hate too, just so you know.
So I was like, no, I was like, but what does that have to do with anything? He goes, this is cultural appropriation because you were hijacking our culture for your own gain. And I go, hey, listen,
like,
man.
Do you even know?
I go, listen, man. I was like, do you understand why we're here? And he was like, no. And I was like, my wife's aunt invited us, you know, we're here to drive awareness to this market. We're here to actually like serve the community. And we came here to drive awareness to protect this market square. And he was like, he
couldn't process.
He couldn't process that your aunt was behind it. And like
you're here because my aunt threw this entire event.
So I'm like looking around and I'm like, where's her aunt? Because like, you know, I grew up.
some of our employees are like, sir, he's a Ramirez. Yeah, you don't even understand. And
I did not pull the Ramirez card because I never want to pull that card. But like, I was starting to get a little triggered because like my background is like my dad moved from a all German community. My cousins were all white, but with the last name Ramirez up in Illinois, and like literally got beat up and bullied because they were white, but with the last name Ramirez in Texas.
But it was your dad's mom that was Hispanic.
No, it was my dad's dad.
Dad's dad.
Full.
Full.
And then moved into an all German community heavily yeah. like racist.
That's why Jordan, yeah. that's why Jordan also looks very
yeah, I'm like white. Super white. And, so, and all the Hispanic kids growing up would always be like say the same thing.
Yeah.
They'd be like Jordan Ramirez, and I'd raise my hand and then all
you're
the,
like, I don't belong.
Hispanic kids would talk in Spanish. And so I'm like starting to get a little frustrated because I'm like, man, this is not about that. Like this is not.
But who even cares about like at the end of the day, it's like my family invited us and it's like, well, no, we're not that. Hurting anyone.
So you're already ahead of the story. He did okay. not believe that. So then I'm starting to argue, and then your dad walks up.
Oh golly. My dad.
He's like, hey, listen, fella. He's like, Danny's aunt, you know, we're here for her. And so he couldn't grasp it. So then your aunt walked by. Okay. And I pulled her in and I'm like, hey, this guy is accusing us of cultural appropriation. I wasn't mad. I understand that, you know, he wanted that to be the narrative, but I was so like fed up with this like conversation. Yeah. It was so unnecessary. And then he asked your aunt the same thing. He goes, do you know a Tejano band? And she named three.
Yeah.
And he goes, ah, those are the oldies. And
who
so,
cares?
So when she explained who she was and why we were here and the real heart behind why we're here, he completely gaslit me. He changed his whole narrative and he was like, oh man, I'm sorry. He was like, we're on the same team. Like, let's educate each other. After he had just berated me for like,
and harassed our employees,
a solid 3 minutes. And I literally was so angry that I had to walk away.
And that was that.
But it was just like, to me, and he walked away too, and your aunt was super frustrated. And it was just like, man, this was something so special. And like, so, and you had to make it divisive for like no reason. Like yeah. we were trying to all be on the same team, like all drive awareness to this market square. And because of some narrative that the media told you, like you had a chance to be very tunnel visioned and assume that that's what the situation was. And it's so divisive. It was so annoying. And I just got, that was probably the first time in a long time I've gotten fiery.
You've gotten fiery. Yeah, it's discouraging because it's like, man, what can you do right? Like, you know, you show up and you're like, I'm trying to support my aunt and my family, and that's not the right move. But then you don't show up and you don't support them, and then that's not the right move. So it's like, you're kind of just in a lose-lose. And I think that's why at the end of the day, like, you just have to be confident in what you're doing and your heart behind what you're doing. Yeah. And, but it's just really sad that nowadays, like you're gonna lose no matter what, like, even if you're trying to be kind.
I think that's why I was so discouraged and frustrated is because it's like, okay, like you're telling me that there's a race problem in America. Okay. I'm listening. Like, let's lean in, let's figure out like how we can like ally together and fix it. But then it's like, oh, sorry, that wasn't good enough. You know,
yeah.
It's like, how is anyone supposed to, you know, like use their platform or use their resources to help if like that is the kind of response that you get. And again, this is what's so hard about it is that was one person, truly. There yeah. were probably 800 people that we interacted with.
Yeah, no, and it really was one person and we did not have any other conflict.
But that one person, it's like so hard not to listen to the
negativity they're so loud.
Of that one person.
Well, they're harassing my employees. Like everyone on the team felt uncomfortable. Like they were the loudest. Yeah. And I just think too, like, I don't mind having the conversation, but once again, I feel like it could be approached differently. Like, it's like why couldn't he have asked more questions? Why are y'all here? Who invited you? Where did you learn about this?
He was
like,
laser focused,
like, just trying to prove your point. And that's where like, it just makes it hard to all be on the same team when you come from like a place of wanting to be right and anger from the get go.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, like
a good learning lesson for like Divi and our team though, because it's like, it was a great opportunity. Like we're constantly telling our leadership team at Divi. We're like, hey, it's an election year. Like we're going to come into this election year and there's going to be divisiveness on all sides of the aisle. And it's like the most important thing is for
do
us
what
not
you
to
think
lean
is
right,
right.
Or not to lean left politically, but like just to unite on like what is human, like what is the more universal thing that why is everyone here at this Divi booth, like kind of in the same, what sort of ties everyone together. And it was like, man, we love our families. We love this product. And, you know, we want to be supportive of each other. And yeah. It was just kind of more simple and universal.
Get people together, bring your family, bring your kids, have good food, like just community overall. But like I said, I actually don't have a problem with leaning a certain direction. Like my thing is like when you lean to that direction, like do it because you genuinely believe in what you're doing. And you like, even when that guy comes up to you and harasses you, that you're still so confident in what you're doing that it doesn't bother you. And so like, I'm okay with leaning into like, I will support my family again. Like I will do that because I know that that's the right thing to do. And I know like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be like pushed around because one guy got mad that I don't know a Tejano band. Like, so like I said, it's like if brands
so much Tejano music on the way home, you have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm so educated. Yeah. He's it's great.
He stings it too. But no, like I said, so it's like if brands want to take a stance or they want to go one direction or the other, like I'm fine with that. Just like be confident and like believe in what you're doing. Don't just do it because people are pressuring you to do it. As y'all know, we are huge fans of Hiya around here, the pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin. Stella and Stratton have been taking their daily multivitamin for a while now, but I just recently ordered the probiotic they also have. When we were in Miami, Stratton was having constipation issues, and so many of y'all recommended probiotics, specifically Hiya. I'm really excited for Stratton to have this to help with his tummy issues. Their supercharged chewable probiotic has 10 billion live cultures to support childhood immunity, gut health, and nutrient absorption. Similar to their multivitamin, this has no gummy junk, sugar, is non-GMO, gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, and tastes good. I'm going to try and get my kids to be super consistent with it now that we see the full benefits. I love knowing that when I give these to Stella and Stratton, there aren't those terrible ingredients in there that actually end up doing more harm than good. I'm also a sucker for good packaging, and with Hiya's branding, it's super cute and fun for the kiddos. You get these cool bottles and stickers with your first order, and then they send you eco-friendly refills every month. You can also cancel anytime. Of course, I have a code for y'all. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/JaneAustin. This deal is not available on the regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/DannyAustin and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Now I want to cover the trad wife. Have you seen this trend? And I just want to say we've gone off the rails, y'all. Dude, this episode
this
has
might
gone
be the last. We might go down for this episode.
This episode, I know. We're going down after this. This will be our retirement episode.
You know what?
We're going to go build a bunker and move into it because we're about to get canceled. No, just kidding. Okay, so I want to talk about this trad wife trend that I've been seeing all over TikTok. So some women want to go back to the 1950s, and it isn't just for style, although they do look like they're back in the 1950s. A new movement made up of millennial and Gen Z women looking to escape corporate America and live a quote-unquote traditional wife lifestyle have taken the internet by storm. A traditional wife is defined as a married woman who chooses to be a homemaker as a primary occupation, adheres to or embodies traditional femininity and female gender roles. These women have started going viral for talking about their role as a trad wife and what it looks like. It typically includes homemaking by cooking, cleaning, tending to the children, but more extreme cases include asking a husband's permission to go somewhere or to make a financial purchase. I'm like, okay. Many associate this movement with political motives, but to that, some trad wives say it's 2023 and this is what I choose.
That's such a good
man. Like, I want to be a trad wife.
Do you?
Here's the thing about this. This is such bull crap because do you know how long it takes to edit these trad wife videos? These women are girl bosses. These are the smartest girls on the internet. Yeah. They're the ones that need to be running for president. The persona that they're spinning and the narrative that they're creating is so like not really what's happening behind the scenes. Like these are the master geniuses. I want to be friends with all of them.
So are they labeled on the internet as trad wife influencers?
Yeah, they call themselves trad wives. Like they cook, they clean, they edit their TikToks, post TikToks, yeah. Look up the hashtags.
So like Ballerina Farms, is that a trad wife?
I mean, she lives like a more like...
She lives on a farm.
No, I think that's different. She's like making but she's very butter. Traditional, yeah. But I mean, I think it's just one of those things where now everyone has to create a label to identify as something, because I think there's actually a lot of traditional wives out there. And here's the thing, even if they weren't editing TikToks and posting, they just don't feel they're misrepresented. No, but I think that the funniest thing about this as a mother, and I would not consider myself like a trad wife, but like I will say the days that I am a trad wife, it's the hardest job I've ever had.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you, it is the hardest gig you can have. It is the most like taxing physically, emotionally. Like it's really, really challenging to be a trad wife. So like, I think these girls like deserve some respect. Now I think that people don't like the fact that some women are quote unquote submissive to their husbands, or that they're identifying as something that is more traditional. So I think people are putting a lot of these like stereotypes to them, saying, oh, they have to ask their husband if they want to make a big financial purchase. And I'm like, yeah, no crap. I would too. Like, I can't just go buy a Rolex. Like, well, I need to talk to my husband. Like, we have a marriage and like, it's healthy to have conversation about this. Right. And it's like, oh my gosh, these women are staying at home, like breastfeeding the babies and like staying and like cooking and cleaning. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of work. Like, you're the only one that like can breastfeed your baby. Like, you're like, you probably want to be at home. You have this motherly instinct. Like, that's where you want to be. Like, sometimes I fantasize about it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I am probably the opposite of a trad wife. And like, some days I fantasize.
You're kind of starting to
flirt. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm flirting with the line. And I'm like, some days I'm like, that I feel like would fill my bucket more than the things that used to fill my bucket.
Honestly, sometimes I fantasize too about being a trad husband.
You are a trad husband.
No, I fantasize about it. Like, in fact, like our little fraternity of Instagram husbands, I think we all sometimes fantasize about being trad husbands. Like,
my
true hunter gatherers. Like, we go out and we like hunt and then we bring home the bacon and the food.
But if, why is it such a bad thing? Like, what if people these days are praised for being identifying as furries and identifying as whatever they want? If some woman wants to identify as serving her husband and being more traditional, like, why can't she do that too?
Yeah, no, I don't
why know. Is it so? I'll tell you why. It's because it's associated with Christianity, and Christianity is like the biggest thing that just gets crapped on 24/7.
We're going down hard, and I love it.
I'm just telling you, like, it's like every other thing can be celebrated and beautiful now, but if anything is rooted in like biblical or Christianity, it's just going to be crapped on, and like it's just part of it, like.
It's going to be crapped on by that minority. But
nobody's
like
pushing it on anyone else. It's like, I'm a trad wife. Like, this is what I do. Like, if you don't like it, don't look at it. Like,
okay, let me make sure I understand for a second. I want to understand the whole argument. So trad wives are basically saying a return to more traditional views of what being a wife should look like. So staying at home with the kids, like, you know,
I guess where it goes a little extreme is like, if you feel like you have to pin up your hair and look beautiful and like all that, like, I don't feel that way, but like,
are they really saying that is the question?
I don't know. And I would have to go watch the videos. They look like it, but hey, maybe that girl just likes to look good. Yeah. Like, I personally, like, I don't feel like I have to like look that good every single day.
Sure.
I feel like I can just be in sweats and, but if you want to do that, like my friend Janelle, you know, Janelle, she's very, like, she gets dressed every single day. She looks beautiful every day. She's also naturally beautiful. So I'm like, okay, cool. Not fair. Because like, you don't really need a lot of work. Like, for me, it's going to take 2 hours. So it's like, yeah, it makes sense that some of these girls are like, I spend 20 minutes and then I look like a gorgeous trad wife. I'm like, me, it'll take 7 hours. Yeah. By that time, I'm like,
ugh. Okay. So I'm still catching up. So hold on. So trad wives want to stay home, more traditional view of like marriage and like man goes out.
Yeah, he's the breadwinner. Okay. I stay at home. I cook. I raise children.
So, okay. And then some submissiveness in there. Submissiveness is one of those things that I don't feel like it's a biblical concept that I feel like is going to be really hard for the internet to wrap its brain around. Because it's not like,
it's not
as domineering as it probably sounds as a word.
Yeah.
You know, but like submissiveness, like I feel like
it's like you want to be led by your husband.
Yeah, you want to be led. You want to be respectful.
Ugh, honestly, it sounds amazing. Like sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, just tell me what to do.
You say that, but you and I butt heads so much.
You're so right, babe. I am such a liar right now. Like I know, but I think about it. And then I'm like, wait. No,
you know what happens is you go 3 weeks on,
yes,
foot on the gas of like, don't stop me.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me. Stay out of my way. I don't need no man. And then you have 1 week of just complete burnout.
Take me back, please.
And you're like, whatever you want to do. And then I step in the leadership role and then we flip again. So I understand trad wife movement. What I don't understand, what is the arguments against it? I agree with your point that like, if you can have any identity that you want these days, like why would this one be so controversial of all the other
ones? I think
ones?
The fact that if people are feeling like you have to stay at home and look beautiful for your husband and pin your hair up and wear this like pointy boob bra and these dresses and so look a certain way, maybe these videos are pushing that like concept. And also I think people get really like turned off whenever it's like you have to ask your husband to to like, that makes sense. Like if you have to ask your husband to leave the house, that's controlling and that's really messed up. But it's like, this quote says that they have to ask their husband to make big financial purchases. I'm like, yeah, I think we all should probably, you know.
Yeah, it's, but like, I think if the it depends on like the temperament of the husband, I feel like. If the husband is like, hey, you better ask for permission, like that's like, that's domineering. That's, but here's the thing, bad.
Like, bottom line, these girls aren't trad wives. They're like evil geniuses. They're like working so hard creating this content. They're girl bosses.
Yeah.
They're the smartest of the bunch.
Okay, so you think that the trad
they're making money off their TikToks.
Okay, I'm trying to get
they're not stay-at-home moms. That's the funniest part.
So you're not upset about the trad wife movement. You're upset about the trad wife influencers.
I'm not upset with anyone, really. I'm just laughing over here.
Okay, you're laughing because you know it's completely unrealistic.
It's just so, it's like a label to make everybody feel better. And then it's just like a trend, but it's not real because nothing is.
This is Dani's most jaded episode on record. 1000%. She's lost faith in all institutions.
I've contradicted myself so many times on this podcast. Like, I don't even know who I am anymore. All I know is I need to get to TikTok vlogging about being a traditional wife. Like,
you know what? Yes, maybe you've contradicted yourself, but at least
you follow that one girl. I got to just end on this note. I cannot remember her name, but she does this where she like bakes and she always tilts her head a certain direction. Like degree like this, and she bakes and like she's always smiling and people are like, I can't tell if this is satire or real. Have you ever seen her?
No.
Oh, it's so Danny, good.
Honestly, honestly, okay, you were able to trace Stella's behavior back to her getting a smartphone. I feel like we can trace your psyche right now back to when you started consuming TikTok.
No, I followed this girl I've seen her. She's on Instagram too.
But I'm saying, I feel like what's happened, I'm going to paint you a picture.
Babe, you're kind of annoying me right now.
You're sitting in bed and you're scrolling and you're getting all these new ideas thrown at you.
I got to learn what I'm going to talk about on the influence.
Your brain is just jumbled. You don't, you're like, ah, I'm mad at this. I'm mad at this. Let's just watch the TikTok.
No, I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't have to have all the answers.
You're so right. I'm so sorry.
Anyway. This is why I'm not a trad wife. Because I still have to maintain my dominance.
I know. And I have to very delicately dance around it.
Okay, so before we end this episode where we absolutely did nothing that we were supposed to talk about, like, it's embarrassing how much. Like, we had this whole script. We had, like, 5 things that make you go, hum, and we didn't do any of it.
Best episodes.
Thank goodness we had something to talk about. I was, like, so concerned. What were your thoughts on Beyoncé's album?
I actually think it's going to be really good. I just heard snippets of it. Mm-hmm. I did not think I was going to like it, but
there's a collab with Miley Cyrus, Post Malone, Willie Nelson. I don't know if he's singing on it or if he just makes like a little appearance. Dolly Parton. She doesn't sing on it, but she does a cover of Jolene.
I think it was really time for her to do something very unconventional and new. And I think she nailed it. So like, I'm more so supportive of her album for like the originality of the idea. Of like getting the people talking again, of like, oh my gosh, she's launching a country album. She reinvented herself, and that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. So I love it. Love the strategy.
What do you say, walking backwards and reinventing themselves?
Yeah, the greats are constantly, I forgot the quote. The greats are willing to walk backwards.
But are the greats good parents? That's my biggest question.
Probably not.
Okay, anyway.
But maybe they can do it all, right? You know, maybe they can reinvent themselves and go from Instagram stories to vlogging. We'll see.
Well, speaking of TikTok and Instagram stories, we would love for you to follow us on DeInfluenced because we're so funny over there. And we take every funny part of our podcast and make us look even funnier and clip it to Instagram and TikTok. And it's just the best time you can have on the internet. It'll really make your mental health better. Okay, feel free to leave us a review, rate this podcast, and please don't cancel us. We love you. Bye.